116-108. Another Celtics avalanche in the second half. And Peyton Pritchard, the story.
Final hour, Jones and Keith. We've got the grab bag coming your way about 15 minutes from now.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned for it. A lot of good stuff in there.
There's a lot.
Giselle.
Yeah, Giselle's in the news.
What a doozy.
Woo!
So that comes your way later on this hour. We'll get back into your phone calls, 617-779-7937. A lot of Patriots talk on the show today. If you missed any of our discussion about the comeback, we gave you some time to watch the comeback on Netflix.
Yeah, very good. Highly recommend.
20 years on about the 3-0 rally for the Red Sox in the 04 ALCS, really covering the 2003-2004 series, seasons, rather, the rivalry with the New York Yankees. We gave our thoughts on that earlier in the show. If you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app, up on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. We got sidetracked by the candy tiers, our Halloween tiers, on a Tier Tuesday.
Yeah, those are very good as well.
And we had to move some of our Celtics discussion, Keith. Maybe it's a weird day to ask it because Tatum didn't have his best game last night. But the Celtics, for about a half, let the Bucks hang around. Maybe even two and a half quarters, let the Bucks hang around. They hit their accelerator at the end of the third quarter and into the early fourth quarter. They're up 15 and really put the Bucks away.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-0. Milwaukee is what I think a decent Eastern Conference team. And they already blitzed New York in the opener. They had a couple of easier opponents there in the middle. Washington and...
Detroit.
Thank you, Detroit.
Yep.
And so they beat Milwaukee last night. They're 4-0. Not Tatum's strongest game.
No.
But it has been a very strong start to the year for Jason Tatum.
Oh, yep.
Do you feel like he's taken a leap?
I mean, it's four games. I think the biggest thing he could do, and it's funny that we're saying this now because last night was not his great shooting night, but if he shoots a really high percentage, if he shoots over 40% from three this year, I think that's sort of the thing. Because I think over the last couple of years, he has become more of a playmaker for others. Like, I think he's already doing that. He has turned himself into a really good rebounder, and when he wants to, a good defender. He's not, you know, Derek White or Jrue Holiday. He's not all NBA defense, but he's good. He's like a good defensive player. I think it's going to come down to that shooting percentage because there's a big swing, multiple points to be had. You know, if you shoot 32% compared to 42% from three, like, that's a big difference. And last year, it was really the playoffs that he was a bad three-point shooter statistically. Well, just overall. Regular season wasn't as bad. But I think that's one area, because there was so much talk about it in the offseason, about him kind of fixing his shot a little bit. And the first three games, two of the first three, it looked like he'd fixed his shot. He came out guns blazing against the Knicks, shot a good clip against the Pistons. But last night, obviously, like 1 of 8.
Well, and I said this in the first game, and I think you heard some of this on the broadcast last night, and he had a decent first quarter scoring-wise last night. He didn't shoot it well. 6 out of 16, 1 out of 8 from three. Good enough floor game, I guess. 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He was a team best plus 18 in the game last night. It's not like the game was horrible, but it wasn't as good as his first three. I do like that he's coming out early and looking to set the tone and looking to score and put his imprint in the game. I like that Mazzulla's giving him the whole first quarter in all these games. Like, let him come out, play the first 12 minutes, the first and the third. You can sit at the start of the fourth quarter, and then you can utilize Tatum as needed. If you need him back in early, and they kind of did. I think he played the last 8 minutes of the game or would have if it was a close game. I think he checked in around the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter. Like, I'd rather stagger Tatum's minutes that way. Do you think he needs to take a leap this year, Keith? Because I hear a lot, well, they won last year when Tatum wasn't shooting at the greatest. Jaylen Brown was more their go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Tatum deferring with Jaylen as a go-to guy, taking over in clutch spots, is actually a better setup for the team, which I get and I acknowledge, and it definitely happened last year.
Yeah.
But are you going to get the same road last year where, again, you get injured teams and or a 5 seed? In the NBA Finals in the Dallas Mavericks, I don't think they were pushed. And if they are pushed more this year, can you get away with that setup, or do you need Tatum to take a step? I think Tatum needs to be better. Does he need to be their best player in a series? Like, maybe you can win when Jaylen Brown is your best player. But I think Tatum needs to be better, and I think the first three games were very encouraging. Last night was not his best night, but I think he needs to take that step, and I'm hoping this is the year he does it. This is the year he becomes a true MVP candidate. We thought last year was going to be the year. It wasn't. They won anyway.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to repeat, you need him to take a full step, a half step forward, and I'm encouraged by the start to the year.
See, I think they can get by without it, only because I agree with you.
What does get by mean, though?
Win the whole thing. By mean, like it won't be a problem. It won't get in the way, and because part of it was, you're right, they didn't play a murderer's row, but they also didn't go to game seven every time. Would they lose three playoff games?
Yep.
He's been first team all NBA the last, what, three seasons? So even if he's not the league MVP, he's one of the five best players consistently. So I think if you have that and the fact that they're so much deeper than everybody else, and I don't mean like down to the ninth guy, I just mean the five they have on the floor is always better than the five on the floor for somebody else, that I think he still has to be very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But if he stays the way that he was, or in my scenario, shoots just a little bit better, a little higher percentage from three, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be more than fine, because Derek White and Holiday and Jaylen Brown, and this is even with or without Porzingis. I feel like if Porzingis comes back and gives you anything, then I think you're like, it's almost overkill. Then I don't think you need it at all. I'll take it, but I don't think it's necessary.
I honestly forget about Porzingis sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know. And, I'm not even counting him.
No, I'm not either. I don't think you can count on him, which is why I don't. And I don't think they need him. I think they need Tatum to take a step forward more than they need Porzingis, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I look at a game like last night, and maybe Milwaukee, neither one, you or me, have them as like the top threat.
No, I was higher on them than you, but yeah, neither one of us had them.
Because I took the Cheese last year. I was like, this is going to be a seven-game series in the East Finals.
Lillard,
like,
I thought Scal and Drew Carter did a good job breaking this down last night. Lillard looks better. Lillard looks re-engaged. Like last year, and I think Scal was talking about this last night.
Yep.
Maybe he, because he knew he was going to get traded, didn't put in the work last year. Lillard looked more aggressive last night.
But I like a night where Giannis scores 30, Lillard scores 30, Tatum shoots 6 of 16 and scores 15, and the Celtics win by 11.
No,
You know what I'm saying? I can't imagine the Bucks are going to get a ton out of Gary Trent and Bobby Portis. And they need Giannis and Lillard to play like that and a little bit better, and then they still might lose.
Yeah,
you know, like that's
against the Celtics.
That's
for sort of
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the gap the Celtics have, and that wasn't even a great Tatum night. That wasn't Tatum and Brown matching Giannis and Lillard bucket for bucket, like you might think going in. You're like, no, they can have a crazy Peyton Pritchard night, or they can have Drew Holiday against his former team, who I feel like is always a little bit extra motivated.
Okay, so speaking of Pritchard, we already talked about this three-pointer earlier in the day, but like it broke Doc last night, and Doc is of course going to show up his players. It's like, why weren't you guys on him? Why weren't you covering him? It's like, hey, Doc.
Has Doc left that position from last night, him hunched over by the scorer's table?
Just folded over.
Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's on you, Doc. Yeah, you're the coach. Like, if you can't tell them and get them to cover Peyton Pritchard at the end of a quarter, that's on you, you moron.
Pritchard was feeling it.
Of course he's going to throw his players under the bus. So Pritchard was terrible against New York in the first game. He was 1-for-10, 1-of-9 from three, only 3 points. Since then, 15 and 5 threes against Washington, 19 and 5 threes against Detroit, 28 and 8 threes last night.
What is this guy?
Against Milwaukee.
He's making a push for sixth man of the year.
He's averaging, Keith, 16 a game on 49% shooting from three. I'm sorry, that's from the floor. He's 50% on three. He is.
After he started so poorly.
Correct.
Like, he dug himself a hole in that first game.
Correct.
So, he was the one guy in the first game that couldn't hit a three. That was when they scored 29 threes as a team.
So he's at exactly 50% from three, 49% from the floor, 16 a game.
He's been awesome.
We know he's a weapon at the end of these quarters and halves and things like that with the launch.
Which is hilarious that that's like your thing.
But is he just a weapon, period?
I kind of think so.
Me too.
I kind of think so. He's good. A couple years ago, he was too much of a liability, and it felt like good teams, I feel like Spoelstra and some of the other ones, would just target him on defense and be like, all right, you got to get out of there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, since then, like he's obviously undersized compared to some of the guys that he's guarding and things like that, but offensively, he's tough because he can hit the open shot. He can also create for himself. He's a good, solid player, and he's gotten better every year he's been in the league. You know, he's gotten an opportunity to play on this really, really good team. And you remember, was it a year ago? There was like questions about, like, he kind of had like one foot out the door.
Yeah.
He had some things that he was saying. Like,
it was going into last season. At the end of that year, he's like, something like, I need more minutes or I should be playing more,
it
something like that.
A little bit like Scary Terry, where Scary Terry, he would show it every once in a while. And then he was like, I could do this on another team. And it's like, yeah, you're right. You could, but that team's going to be the Charlotte Hornets. Like, Peyton Pritchard could go start somewhere else, probably, score a bunch of points, and the team would lose all the time. but he's carved out a role for him on the best team in the league. So, yeah, like sometime last year, I had a realization that both Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, and I know he was hurt last night, didn't play, but I'm like, both these guys are pretty good. Like, well, if they were on another team and the Celtics were just their team, and then come trade deadline time, you'd be like, who would you want? You'd be like, I kind of want a Peyton Pritchard. I kind of want a Sam Hauser.
To me, Pritchard feels more like a weapon than Hauser is a great shooter.
Hauser's like a stand in the corner and pop a shot. But I'm saying, but
he's
yeah,
a product of what the Celtics have.
But they're
right?
very useful. They're both very useful for this team.
This is like when you would surround in his prime LeBron with just snipers.
Like James Jones.
Yeah, just guys who get. That's more what Hauser is. Pritchard might be more than that. Pritchard might be more of a weapon. Hauser to me is. Well, they're doubling everybody, and Tatum's going to pass out of double teams, and he's going to find open shooters, and you need to be able to knock down a shot.
What's the Pritchard comp? Who's the guy?
I think Rozier was a good one, but he's a much better shooter than Rozier.
He's much better, way, way more consistent than Rozier. I'm trying to think. Like
on those Miami teams?
Yeah, do they even have anybody that they could put in and would sort of carry the offense for like a little bit? Like if 2 years ago, you're like, oh, yeah, Brown and Tatum could sit, and like you'll still score a bunch of points because you have Pritchard out there. You'd be like, what? But now you're like, yeah. He can go out there and he can carry the offense for a little bit.
Mo Williams.
No. Yeah, maybe. Like a Mo Williams. Vinny the Microwave Johnson.
He's
like
a better Mo Williams out there.
I'll come up with one.
It's
I'll
not Dellavedova.
No.
Did you see some of the stuff that was going on last night? Pritchard called himself the most competitive guy on the team after
Andrew
the game.
Andrew Nembhard.
I mean, actually, why am I laughing at that? Yeah. I don't know. He's a nice player.
Yeah. Duncan Robinson was good for a year.
Who was that?
Duncan Robinson was good for a year.
He's from New Hampshire. Shout out to the Grand State.
Duncan Robinson is a Hauser type.
He is a Hauser.
He's a Hauser type.
Might be worse.
Yeah, he can't defend at all.
Hauser can't defend.
He's tall.
I know. People are like,
in the way.
People are like, oh, these advanced metrics on Hauser. Yeah, it's because everybody else on the team is a good defender. Uh-huh. He is not a good defender, but... What would the comp be for Pritchard? It's a good question.
I'll find one.
You see the video that his wife tweeted out? They showed it they mentioned it 8 billion times on the broadcast last night, and they showed it on the broadcast. Peyton Pritchard playing one-on-one with the kid?
I love it. Honestly, I love that crap. I do. So the story goes, he and his wife were going for a walk.
That's how the story goes.
Yeah, who knows how it really went down. Right, but it wasn't him and his wife were out for a walk, or they're walking the dog, or whatever.
Some kid asked for like his autograph. Or something?
I thought she's like, I bet that like tie my sneaker, and I look up, and he's playing one on one. Like he's like, she looks up, and he's like backing some little kid down, and like scoring on him.
Maybe that's how that really went down, or they're like, let's stage this.
No, but, see, to me, I think he is like he was playing in that Drew League a couple years ago. I think he's a psycho basketball player. Like he just plays basketball all the time. That's my thing.
He was going with the winter toque early. Did you notice that? He was playing with the winter cap on there.
It's gotten kind of cold at night the day.
Not that cold?
Not for me.
You're from New Hampshire.
I'm from New Hampshire.
Of the earth.
That's right.
That's right, Vermont. We're not wearing
nothing.
Toque before Halloween. No, thank you.
Still wearing shorts.
But I thought that was a bit of a soft move.
Him playing hoops?
The hat.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing?
Well,
West Coast guy.
Maybe one of these nutritionists got in his ear, or these people are like, listen, you got to stay warm. Keep the body warm.
Keep the blood flow.
90% of your heat comes flying out of your head.
So you like that.
Put
you
a little hat on there.
You ate that up, that he was playing one-on-one with the kid.
Yeah.
With the child.
Just feed me more. I'll eat that up.
First of all, it reeks of being staged to me. Second of all.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
He's playing hoops. What does he stand to gain from that?
I don't know.
What's the win there?
I don't know them talking about it the whole broadcast like they did last night.
They didn't have to talk about the whole broadcast.
Well,
they talked
about
the whole broadcast because he's drilling threes
not
in the game.
No,
if he was pinned to the bench, they would have been like, hey, guys, here's
a cool TikTok.
It
started way before he was drilling threes in that. It started the second he got the. I think they were talking about it on the pregame show.
It's a cool story.
They were talking about it on the pregame show. It's before he was drilling threes.
So he's like, hey, if I can get Tom Giles to talk about me, I'm going to stage a video.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe his wife wants that.
Yeah, that's what she wants.
Why do you think his wife put it on social media?
Because she's proud of her husband.
Yeah, that's why.
Newlyweds.
It's not a state.
Still in the honeymoon phase.
Or
he probably is just the 1 minute he was off her. Like, he's finally playing. He's finally doing something else. Play a little hoops. Good. Thank
seriously.
God. Give me a break.
She's like, leave me alone.
It's too much. It's much too much. That's my guess. She's like, finally, this guy's out of the house.
I mean, I don't play
hoops with the kid down the street.
I don't want to dramatize it and say, what if he rolls an ankle? But I'm saying, no, it feels like a...
Do you think Brad Stevens calls him in the office? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, gee, Wilk.
What the hell are you doing?
Gee, Wilk, roll an ankle out there.
It's in your contract. It says no pickup.
Have some milk. Strengthen up those bones.
Can't play against 12-year-old kids down the street.
As you know, I don't want to over-dramatize it, but heaven forbid you're
He had a good
ankle.
Move on that kid, though. He backed him in.
popped
the shot over him.
It was real nice. Backed him right down that 8-year-old.
I was like, he might try that out in a game. Of course, everybody he plays against is a foot taller than him. He might not have the same results.
I will say, legit. Like, I think he's a legitimate weapon. I don't think he's just a product of Tatum gets double teamed. Brown gets double teamed. I don't think Hauser's a product of that. You know, Jordan Walsh launching threes in the first quarter last night.
Jordan Walsh in that first quarter.
No prayer of knocking them down like that. I don't need to see. But like, if you're wide open and they're passing out a double team, fine. I think Pritchard is a weapon, and not just at the end of these quarters. I think he's a weapon.
I mean, if he keeps this up, he legit will be in like the sixth man.
Yeah,
voting.
Unless he blows out a knee playing 10-year-olds one on one,
or maybe just staying sharp. Maybe it just keeps him in.
That's why he was so hot, because of that.
I don't rule it out. I mean, what happened first? Him playing against the little kid, then he hits 8 of 12 threes?
You got me there.
Okay. It's science.
Fair point. I'll bend the knee on that one.